I see everyone back here with us this evening as we continue our discussion on the necessary ingredients for the Christian home. We spoke this morning concerning love and discipline. This evening we'll resume our study with respect as being a necessary ingredient for the Christian home. Lack of respect, when we look at the family in today's society, lack of respect is seen in the family when members of the family do not treat one another with the dignity that they deserve. Parents show the ultimate lack of respect for their children by abusing them either physically or verbally. And friends, as we look at this definition of respect and how we may think of it, the word itself means high or special regard. High or special regard. This type of respect the home needs is the high regard that each family member has for the family as a whole and for each individual member in particular. Parents who love their children will naturally have a high respect for them and will view each child as a gift from God. We read where the psalmist says in 127 and verse 3, Psalm 127, and verse 3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." That's how, friends, we ought to view our children. This kind of respect, the kind of respect produced by love, prevents favoritism. You think of the problems. As you look through your Bibles and you consider the problems that develop because of favoritism within certain biblical families. You look at the problems that develop because of the favoritism in the home of Isaac and Rebekah. It caused one son to have to flee for his life, the other being so angry at his brother that he desired to kill him, and them being separated for years upon years. The same thing happened within Jacob's own house. Where do you suppose he learned it? He learned it at home, being his mother's favorite. And so, as he had children, he had favorites. You see it, as he gave Joseph a coat of many colors, he respected Joseph above the rest of his children. Friends, the respect born of love prevents favoritism. For the children, respect for their parents comes from both love and discipline. Love produces the appreciation, and discipline produces the admiration. They come to know that their parents are fair and just in the way they run the household. Friends, when we look and we look at homes around about us today, we see an utter lack of respect within the home. And friends, this is something that has to be instilled. It's a necessary ingredient if we are to have a Christian home. Husbands respecting their wives and vice versa. Parents respecting their children. Children respecting their parents. Respect is something needed within the home. I'd like for us to spend the remainder of our time on our last point, our last ingredient. Commitment. Having a Christian home is going to take love. It's going to take discipline. It's going to take respect. But friends, all of those things cannot be accomplished without commitment. We must have commitment one to another, father to mother, husband to wife, parents to children, and children to parents. There has to be commitment within the home. Quite frankly, friends, the Lord has no use, none whatsoever, for quitters. The Lord has no use for quitters. Concerning those that would turn back from following Him, Jesus said in Luke 9 and verse 62, He said, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Think about that for a moment. No man, having the desire to follow Christ and turning back into the world, notice what Jesus says. That man is not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, friends, the obvious, as He gives this word picture here, the obvious reason is He gives this word picture of a man putting his hand to the plow, but as he's plowing, supposed to be going forward down the row, he's watching where he's been already. And then when you look back, and he looks back at the rest of what he's done, how do the rows of his field look? Jesus says that man's not fit for the kingdom of God. Friends, quite simply, family members must be committed to the family for it to succeed. It's going to take commitment. What about what happens? What are some examples of what happens when this commitment is lacking in the family? Well, when we look around us, these examples, when that commitment is lacking in the family, they're very clear. Friends, too many give up on their marriages and divorce because of irreconcilable differences. How many times have we been speaking with someone and they talk about having gotten a divorce from their former spouse because they just couldn't get along or whatever the case may have been, and what they put on those papers were irreconcilable differences. Friends, you know what that means? There was no commitment there from the beginning. There was no commitment there from the very beginning. This often means irreconcilable differences. This often means they're just tired of being married to one another and want to try again with someone else. Where's the commitment gone? I saw a picture with a caption here a while back. It had an elderly couple holding hands. And a younger person had come and asked them how long they had been married. They had been married for some 60, 65 years. I don't remember exactly which it said on this caption. And asked the younger person asked how they had been married so long. How did you do it? And the simple reply from this couple was, you know, back in our day when it was broke, we fixed it. We didn't just throw it away. We fixed it. Friends, what do you see there? You see commitment. Commitment to one another, to work through the ups and downs of marriage. Let me ask you this. What happens to the children when parents quit and divorce? Friends, I'll point out something very sad. And I got to thinking about this as I was contemplating this lesson for today. I started going through all the friends that I could remember growing up with, all the way from very small up through high school. And I don't even need one whole hand to count those kids that were in my class that their parents were still married to one another. They didn't have a broken home. I can count three that were in my class. Right off the top of my head. Friends, how sad is that? I graduated in the class of 221, and I can count three. There's no commitment any longer. What happens to the children when parents quit divorce? Friends, lives are torn apart. They're left in the middle, often feeling responsible for their parents' lack of determination to make their marriage happy and loving. And friends, when this happens, a family is destroyed because of a lack of commitment. Oftentimes, as I'm talking with young couples that are considering marriage, and I know I've already said this in this particular series of lessons, but when I'm talking to young people that are considering marriage, the first thing I ask them to do is take that D word out of their vocabulary. It is not to even be an option. It's not something that can be left on the table. You know, if things don't work out, we can always divorce. That's how society looks at things today, friends. And we're talking about a Christian home, though, in today's society. And if we're going to have a Christian home, friends, we need commitment one to another. Husbands to wives, mothers to fathers, parents to children, and children to parents. But friends, there can be a lack of commitment on the child's part as well when we fail to have love and discipline and respect within the home. This discipline is shown, it can be shown by running away. Some children, eager to begin life on their own and to escape their parents' authority, they run away to start out on their own, and that often results in tragedy. How many times Have we read in the newspaper, heard of the news of runaways and their bodies turning up because they ran away from home? Friends, a lack of commitment often reveals itself in more subtle ways as well. Sometimes parents give in to frustration and give up serious attempts to instill discipline. Well, they're going to do what they want to do anyway, so why even try? Sometimes parents give up on one another, yet stay together, quote, for the children's sake. That does nobody any good. Friends, what results is a home lacking the love it needs to thrive? Quite simply, dissatisfied children may not run away, but their lack of commitment makes them rebel at every chance, making life miserable for their parents and themselves. We need more commitment in the home. It may not always be easy for husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church, but they must do it anyway. Wives may not always enjoy submitting themselves to their own husbands, but the Lord requires it. It takes commitment. Many times it's difficult not to provoke children to wrath and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but friends, but God commanded it. Children may not always understand their parents' rules, but obedience is still mandatory. So what's the point? The point is this: making the home happy, making the home healthy, and making the home loving does not come easily or without effort. Quite simply, the family must be committed to the cause of making the family all that God wants it to be. It's going to take love, discipline, respect, and commitment. Friends, what's it, when we look at the world around us today, and we look at these broken homes, we see these kids that are often left alone for hours at a time, and we wonder about where we're heading. Friends, we need not wonder because we can see it before our very eyes. If children don't get the teaching they need at home, they're going to get it somewhere. The commitment that a parent must make to his child, you know, sometimes we need to sit down and turn the TV off. We talked about in our first lesson, unplugging. I've actually heard parents with my own ears talk about needing to get things done, so we'll pop in Dora the Explorer on the TV and we'll go for hours at a time and do what I need to get done. Friends, what does that teach our children? That's a serious lack of commitment. Key ingredients for a Christian home, friends. We talked about love and how necessary it is. Let's review these very quickly. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. How about this love that is supposed to be in a Christian home? Begin reading with me in verse 4. Charity or love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Friends, this is the type of love that is to be within our Christian homes. If we would have a Christian home in today's society, we had better have this type of love. The love that suffers long, that is patient. The love that envies not, is not jealous of one another, The love that does not think of itself first, does not puff itself up. The love that does not behave itself unseemly. The love that does not seek its own, but seeks out the well-being of others within that family unit. The love that is not easily provoked. The love that thinks no evil. The love that does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. The kind of love, friends, that as we read in verse 7, that is going to bear all things. It's going to allow us to be there for one another, regardless of what the situation may be. That believes all things. It gives one another the benefit of the doubt. The love that hopes all things. Regardless of how dire the situation may be, we can always see the light at the end of the tunnel because we have this type of love within the family unit. And the love that endures all things. Do we have that type of love within our families? We had better, friends, if we want to have a Christian home in today's society. What about discipline? Are we consistent with our discipline? With our instructive discipline with our children, the corrective discipline, and instilling that self-discipline that they're going to have to rely upon as they get older and get away from us. Friends, that's necessary if we're going to raise another productive generation rather than being a drain upon society. We need love, we need discipline, we need respect. Respect one for another. The husband for the wife. Father for mother. Parents for children and children for parents and friends. All of that matters nothing if we don't make a commitment to the family. If we as husbands and wives don't take our vows seriously, and the responsibility seriously of raising our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And children take the responsibility of committing and respecting their parents as they ought and obeying. We will have a Christian home in today's society. We must have love. We must have discipline. There must, friends, be respect. And to bring all that together, we had better have a commitment one to another. If we're going to have a Christian home in today's society. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. We're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friends, as we spoke this morning, the ultimate goal, we want to have our Christian homes. Our desire is for us all to meet again one day in our home in heaven. And one part of that, friends, is being sure that we build around ourselves a Christian home. Being sure that God is the center of our lives. That we love God above all else. And by loving God above all else, it's going to allow us to love one another even more. To grow closer to one another in such a way that, friends, we can be together again one day. But friends, the only way to do that, to have a Christian home, one must first have to be a Christian. To have a Christian home, one must obey God and make Him the center of their lives. Friends, are you here tonight having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you desire to have a Christian home? Then friends, give your life over to Him. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that His blood was shed for the remission of your sins? If so, friends, would you repent of your sins? Confess Him before men, as we read in Matthew 10:32 and verse 33, and be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Would you do that tonight? Putting Christ on in baptism, making God the center of your family life, and building a Christian home. Would you do that tonight? Friend, are you here having done so at some point in the past? Is your home even now a Christian home? If not, why not? Do you desire to make it so? Let's make sure that we have our priorities lined up. That again, that God is the center of our family. That He's in our midst at all times. And that as we grow closer to Him, we can grow closer to one another. Friends, if you have a need, whether to repent of sin, whether to obey the gospel, or friends, if you just need the prayers of the church, we ask of you, we beg of you, won't you come now while we stand and while we sing?